From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Life Change Weekend. I'm so glad you're listening into our program today. And this broadcast goes literally around the world right now with our online program that we've been able to connect into. And so we're glad for those of you listening wherever you're at in the world. Thank you for joining us today. I also want to say to those of you on the specific network in East Africa, we welcome you. And of course, the many folks, our dear friends throughout the Triple Cities, Northern Pennsylvania, and different areas where we've been on for years. Thank you so much for listening in. We are delighted to have on with us Pastor Bob Kadlecic. Pastor Bob, it's a joy to have you on. How you been doing? Well?
Yeah, things have been going really well. So I have a little bit of a cold today, but other than that, it's good.
Yeah, that's what the Northeast brings to us, I think, though, is some of those colds, that cold weather. Today, I'm kind of interested in this topic, and I'm looking forward to it. It's not something you say you look forward to, but I think it's a helpful topic. It's a topic that so many of us address and deal with, and it's this idea of having depression in our life. So tell us a little bit about what you're thinking on depression today.
Well, yeah, depression is definitely a problem, and it's another one of those things that's a growing problem. I was surprised that it's about 1 in 5 Americans have experienced at least mild depression in the last 2 weeks, and that's double what it was 10 years ago. It's interesting you mentioned that there's some listeners over in East Africa. I just met with a woman from Uganda just this last Sunday, and just talking about the cultural difference and how much, you know, they have problems in East Africa, but there seems to be just a greater joy and happiness and community there than what we're experiencing in the United States. There just seems to be, as prosperous as we are and as so much that we have, people more and more are just falling into depression and discouragement.
That's fascinating. It's fascinating you'd say Uganda. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a missionary on from Uganda on our program telling the story over there. And that's what he said, the joy that's there. Then also, one of the books that we've advertised through our ministry is a book written by Tony Hammond, who is an educator who just went over to Uganda by invitation. And they're helping them with their education over there, talking about the sweetness of the people there. It's a fascinating thought that you would bring that up today. So how do you define depression and describe it for us?
I think God's word is great because it's written for all people. And I don't know if I've ever really struggled with depression, because it's not just being sad. And so some people think, you know, that depression is just this, oh, you're just sad, get over it. In fact, one of the least helpful things I think someone can say to someone who's depressed is, it's all in your head. Yes, that's true, but everything's in my head. If I put my hand over a fire and it starts to melt, the pain is all in my head. My hand doesn't feel pain. You know, that's why an epidural works. It cuts off the pain signals from the lower part of the body so it doesn't reach your brain. So depression is just I don't know how to describe it beyond a severe sadness, often causing physical problems, like you can't sleep, you can't concentrate. And I think it's important as Christians to understand, even if those like myself who maybe never experienced severe depression, that emotional pain is just as real as physical pain, and it's often worse. I mean, if you ask any depressed person if they would rather have their arm broken in half or continue to feel these depressed mood and thoughts, I think almost all of them, if not all of them, would say, break my arm. Because it's a lot less painful, and it's a lot easier to have a broken arm you know that it'll get better, you know how long it'll take to get better. Then when you're depressed, often it feels like, will this never end? And just so all-encompassing and so difficult to get out of.
Yeah, the first time I recognized the issue of depression was actually when I was young. I remember a very famous singer. In fact, if I would mention her, most people my age especially or younger would remember her. Incredible singer in the world. And all of a sudden, I realized later in life that she had fought depression for years and years. And I actually met her one time when I was in Florida, and she looked the life of depression. She couldn't find, she wasn't a Christian. She didn't know really much about coming to Christ. She had heard about it. But it was just one of those things you felt so sad for. And I'm sure you as a pastor run into it a lot, don't you, with people you love or struggling with this thing?
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of shame that comes with depression. Sometimes depressed Christians think that they should hide it because they shouldn't feel that way. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But I think one of the things I want everyone to hear loud and clear is that you're not a bad Christian if you're depressed. Some of the godliest people in the Bible struggled with depression. Elijah, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. Naomi, you know, said, call me bitter. Jonah, David, Job. And so those who are depressed like that, and that woman could very well be an incredibly godly woman. You know, Charles Spurgeon, some of the great pastors and preachers of the past really struggled with depression. So I think that's important to understand. One of the interesting things about the Psalms is that one third of the Psalms are lament Psalms. And so a third of the songs that the Israelites were supposed to sing, and not just individually, but they would sing corporately together, a third of those songs were for the dark times. And so I think God wants us to know, he preserved all those songs to help us to know that we're not alone. And even when Jesus is described in Isaiah 53, it says, he was a man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. And so if you're struggling with depression, you're in good company.
Yeah. Help our listeners a little bit here, Pastor. When you say the word lament, what does that mean to people listening in to be lamenting? And it is interesting when you read through the Psalms, how many of them, as you said, a third of them deal with that.
I say you have to go through Psalm 22 to get to Psalm 23. We're very familiar with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're actually pretty familiar with Psalm 22. We just don't know it. It begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? And of course, this is what Jesus quoted on the cross. He was quoting an ancient song. And so that's what a lament is. A lament is, it even sometimes questions God. My God, what are you doing? Where are you? How come the good are getting punished and the bad are being rewarded? Like, what is going on in life? I don't understand. Lord, all my bones are out of joint. I'm being taunted. I'm surrounded by wolves and lions. And it's just this, and it's interesting how David writes many of them. He starts off so hopeless and just describing what is really going on around him and how he really feels. And I think it's okay for us to do that, and even in prayer, to go to God and say, this is how I feel. But the great thing about the laments is by the end of the psalm, he just trusts God. And sometimes nothing has changed, but he just reminds himself of what's true about God, even in the midst of his suffering and sadness and the difficulties.
Yeah, that's a great thought. You're listening in to Life Change Weekend. We're delighted you're listening in. This is Dino Padron chatting with you. I'm on with Pastor Bob Kadlecic, my good friend, and we're delighted to have him on monthly with our program. And I want to remind you, you can get a copy of the book, True Spiritual Identity, How Does God See Us? This is a book that you can read in just a few sittings. I think it'll be a blessing to you. The place to get the book is to call 800-473-5106 and simply ask for the book, and they'll be glad to get it to you. Or you can go to one of the bookstores. Some of the chapter titles are Grace, You Are Favored of God, You are a saint. You are blessed. You are chosen. You have a new heavenly home. You are accepted. Let go. Just let go. What God wants you to know. There are 15 biblical principles that we use in this book, taken from the ancient book of Ephesians. And again, we'd be delighted to get you a copy of this. Again, the place to call 800-1-800-473-5106. Or go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any bookstore. If they don't have it there, they'll be glad to order it for you. Well, when you think about depression, I guess there's quite a few people in the Bible, aren't there, that went through periods of depression. I think of people like Moses had that, but there were others, weren't they, Pastor?
Yeah, there's, in fact, I think my favorite story, if you could have a favorite depressed story, is that of Elijah. It even pinpoints when depression hits, and sometimes it hits right after a victory. He has this showdown with the prophets of Baal, and God answers with fire from heaven, and thousands of Israelites see it with their own eyes, and they chant, "The Lord is God," and it's this great victory. And I think then Elijah thought everything would change, but he gets back to the capital city, and Jezebel says, "I'm going to kill you," and he realizes that everything hasn't changed, and he just runs. And he wears himself down physically, goes over 100 miles south, out into a desert, lies down and says, "God, just kill me. I'm no better than my fathers." And one of the things I love about that story is the tenderness of God toward Elijah. He doesn't come down at him and say, "Are you kidding me? You just saw fire from heaven." Like, he just, in a still small voice, sets him up for success. And one of the things he sets him up for success with is he says, "I want you to go anoint Elisha." And I think one of the ways we can fight depression is relationally. And I believe more than any other factor, who you have in your life and how much you let them in is the single greatest factor of whether you can successfully fight depression. They can pray when you can't pray. In Galatians 6:2, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." I believe there are some things in our lives that are too heavy to carry alone. And isolation is the worst place to be. You thinking back on the whole COVID epidemic that happened, why was quarantining so difficult and bad for some people? Because they were alone. And God said in Genesis 2, it's not good for man to be alone. And he wasn't just talking about marriage. He's saying we need each other. And that's often the last thing you want to do when you're depressed. You don't want to call someone. You don't want to even leave your house and go and be with other people. But that's one of the best things you can do.
Yeah, fighting depression has with it its challenges, but relationally is certainly a wonderful way and a wonderful truth that you're giving to us here, Pastor. We're listening into today to Life Change Weekend. Glad you're listening into it. Well, Pastor, relationship is one way to fix this, and I believe that's really true. But what are some other ways that we fight with depression? What are some of the pieces of the armor we need to put on here?
And I think even as we think about how to fight depression, I think we need to realize that it's not a one-size-fits-all problem. It's kind of like if I were to go to my doctor and say, "Doctor, my stomach hurts," what's he going to do? Who knows what's he going to do? I mean, it could be cancer. It could be I just ate something bad. It could be all sorts of things. And so I think depression is the same way. And I think we need to fight it. You're right, on a lot of different levels. And one of those, I think, is physically, especially if you are depressed and you don't seem to be able to figure out why. Everything in your life is going well. You know, you have good relationships, you're good financially, you're healthy, and yet you're incredibly depressed, that you get a checkup with the doctor, because there are thyroid and tumor things and all sorts of deficiencies that can cause us to be depressed physically. And then there's ways to fight that physically as well. I had a youth pastor that I served with, Don Fetter, who realized real early in his early 20s that every February he would become incredibly depressed. And it was because of the lack of light in the Northeast. And so he got a special lamp that he had and would, you know, shine on himself, and it would cut the edge off of that. But basic things, if you're depressed, you need to eat right. You need to get up and take a shower and maybe throw stuff out and just exercise and you know, just do some physical things. Get a good night's sleep if you can, and not try to sleep too much, but be very regimented with that. So I think, yeah, relationally is one way to fight it. I think physically is another way as well. I mentioned this quick. I read a medical article recently, how to increase serotonin in the human brain without drugs. And basically it listed four things. One of them was to think positive thoughts. Another one was lots of sunlight, exercise, and then just getting a good night's sleep. So some of these physical things are even scientifically proven to help us really give our body a little bit of a boost to fight depression.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Pastor. I know that in my own life. I live in Florida now. I'm not in the Northeast, and I know what February's like up there. it can be really challenging. And I live in the down in Florida now, and so one of the things where I live at, I'm kind of living where there's a resort, and I go out in the daytime when I can, not every day, but when I can, to the spa and get some sun, get in the water, and it really is therapeutic. And my wife often would say to me, you know, maybe time for you to go to the spa. and I'm very, very quick to respond positively about that. But that's good advice. It's good practical advice. It really is. I think about those people in Israel. Again, we've been there many times, and some of them wear very heavy clothes out there in that hot sun. But I think that's actually not bad for them because of the way that sun helps take away some of the disease that they actually have. So good advice there. What else? Are there other ways to fight it, relationally, physically? What else?
I think one of the biggest ways is mentally. 2 Corinthians 10:5 is a great verse to memorize. It says, "And we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." And Philippians 4, a lot of people familiar with verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And verse 9, "Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." There is an incredible power to gratitude and to forcing our minds to think about the positive. And I think our minds very often do the opposite. We focus on problems and all the negative, bad things that are going on. And if you do that, you're going to be depressed.
Yeah.
And so I think even spending 10 minutes a day to stop and write down what you're thankful for, it increases your happiness, and it just makes a huge difference. In fact, I think I read a study that said if you spend 5 minutes a day writing down what you're thankful for, it is the happiness equivalent of doubling your salary. So I can double everyone's salary here, at least the happiness that would come from that. And that's in the power of gratitude. Right now, I've got a cold, so I'm just so thankful that 360 days of the year, I'm not sick at all. So that's the way.
Yeah, that's, I'm sure everybody would vote right now to have their salary doubled. So everybody thanks you for that. Now, let me ask you this. In your own personal life with relationship, physically and mentally, what are some things that you have done that can help our listeners? Personal things that maybe you say, this has been really helpful.
Well, I think identifying the cause of depression is important. There's lots of things that can cause it. And sometimes we only hear it's sin. So it can be physical things. It can be circumstances. Job was a righteous man, but his circumstances, if he wasn't depressed, he wouldn't have been human. I mean, all your children dying in the same day, losing everything you have, having physical problems. But that's where in my own life, though, the times I was most depressed, when I was dating Becky, I would write her these letters that were just, she would worry about me being suicidal after getting one. And it was because I was struggling with a sin that had just ensnared me and addicted me. And so it wouldn't have mattered if I took anxiety medicine. You know, it wouldn't have mattered if I tried to just think positively. I had to deal with the root cause of my depression, which was stopping this sin. And it wasn't until God gave me victory over that. And honestly, God gave me victory by exposing it and other people being aware of it and bringing it to the light. And that was at the root of the depression. So I don't want to say that all depression has the root of sin, because that is totally not true. But depending on what is causing, if it is mental patterns, I had a woman after church, I preached on depression, and she said, you know, those anti-anxiety medicines, she held up her fingers and held them about a half an inch apart. She said, they helped that much. She said it was my mental patterns that needed to change. And so I think diagnosing why you're really sad, and then attacking it with everything, with relationships, with good physical taking care of yourself, with God's word and prayer, with your mental patterns, like just attack it with everything you have, because it's a monster, man. And you got to just be all in to fight depression.
So how do you do it with your own personal devotional life, Pastor? I appreciate your transparency on the program here. What is it you do? Do you have a prayer list? Do you walk and pray? Do you read a devotional book? What is it you do?
I do think the Psalms are a great place to go. And I think you can just read Psalms until you hit one that hits you. And then maybe you need to memorize that psalm. Maybe you need to repeat it over and over. I wrote down a couple verses just in preparation for this, just about even just focusing on Jesus. Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. So to understand, man, Jesus knows what I'm going through. And here's a psalm that is incredibly helpful. 34 verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isaiah 61:1 is the first passage that Jesus preached on. He is the beginning of his ministry. He walked into a synagogue. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah. It just so happened to be open to the verse. And it says, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So a lot of times when we're brokenhearted, we feel like God is so far away. But the truth is, this is who Jesus came for. When Jesus read that passage, he rolled it up and he said, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. I'm here. I'm here to bind up the brokenhearted, to save those who are crushed in spirit. That's who I am. And so just reading scripture is a helpful thing. And I heard a story that was really powerful. Louis Giglio, he's a pastor down south and wrote a book called Indescribable and just different things. But he had incapacitating depression. I mean, he went from doctor to doctor with mysterious symptoms like arm pain, no feeling in his legs, all he could do to get out of bed in the morning. And every night at 2 a.m., he would wake up wide awake and be overwhelmed with his depression, just begin sobbing in bed, and then not able to sleep until his alarm went off, and then he'd have to start and do it all over again. And he said one night, after months of this, he just one night just cried out to God and said, God, I just can't handle it anymore. I can't do it. And he said God gave him a song. He gave him a verse, and he gave him a song, Be Still My Soul. And he just started singing four lines of that song. He didn't even remember the rest of the song. And over again, and he said it didn't help that night. But he knew deep down, this is what I'm supposed to do. Didn't help the next night, but six nights later, after hour of singing and saying that song over and over again, the darkness little by little began to disappear and fade. And God used that to help him overcome his depression.
Powerful worship music and worshiping of God. Thank you, Pastor, for that wonderful, insightful teaching today on depression. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. Thanks for listening in. Join us Monday through Friday for our Bible study, Life Change Today. Have a blessed weekend. God bless you.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. That's dinopadron@gmail.com or dinopadronministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.